Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Monday stream. I had to think for a second there.
I believe the phrase actually is that we're back.
We are indeed back. Yes, we are back. We are back, and we are never, in fact, late. Excuse me. We are sometimes a bit claggy. Hello, folks. I see people in the chat. Hello, here's the eunuch. Hello, James Mary. I see you there. You've been a member so long, you've got the N, which is very coveted. If you see somebody on this channel with the N, they have been a member of the channel for a very long time.
That means they're no longer a member, they're a number.
And no, it's yeah, a number. that's awful.
Sorry, I'm not up to speed today. I'm not as funny as I may normally be sometimes. God
What is up,
forbid.
my members? Hello, but yes, there also seems to be analytics problems on the YouTube's back end that people have been complaining about, but I've not really been seeing them apart from the fact that it says we've got both 35 and 5 viewers, but
I don't know, you'd
that's about
think
it,
it would be
right?
able to count the number of JCHQ gremlins inside the laptop accurately.
Thank you, Ivan Grozny. I see you, Mackie Chains there, or McKinley Chains, Camelot Crusader, and also Anthony Keane. Hello, thank you to all our members.
Yes.
That's,
Well, I
yes.
suppose it's maybe worthwhile mentioning it just now, seeing as you're on the subject of members. If you wish to support the stuff we do here or on the Substack or elsewhere, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can either become a member on the YouTube channel, like some people are, you can become a subscriber to the Substack, as some people are, and you can also maybe just give in one or monthly or single donations through the Ko-fi. And there are also options for that elsewhere, such as super chats and some of the one-time donation stuff on Substack. So there are plenty options out there, and basically all payment forms and formats and this, that, and the next thing covered.
Yes.
And we greatly appreciate anyone who's willing to essentially put their hand in their pocket and show us that they want this stuff to continue on. It's one of the things that's really kept us going at the moment recently, whilst a lot of other stuff's gone really bloody sideways, to be quite frank. But anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, enough of
There
that.
has been a, I
Yeah.
think what I could refer to as a major positive development, though, however, in the last day or so, which is
Yes.
tickets for the next Nomos event are now available. You can actually go and buy them if you want now.
Yeah, woo!
I believe the link will be in the description, but you'll probably post it in the chat now as well.
Yes.
We've kind of been busy and not really been able to set up. I don't want to say it's not a proper event. We'll still be there, there'll still be some interesting folk there, and there'll still be stuff to do. Maybe not necessarily as such a formatted speaking event, but we've got a nice little venue, I think. We've got a private room that'll suit us, and I think we'll be able to have quite a nice time in Stirling, especially for those who haven't been there before.
Stirling's lovely, I will say. It's a very lovely place. And I know it's going to be slightly smaller than some of our other events are. We're trying to be less ambitious since we had to scale down our kind of second Manchester event. Although, really, a lot of that stuff is out of our hands. So, yes, we are continuing with these. There will be one on the 28th of October in Stirling City Centre. We are actually doing No More Scotland. People have joked about it, but we really are. And there will be some details, but not too many. We're keeping quite a few things close to our
Yes.
chest. So, I hope a lot of people who do come will be pleasantly surprised. So anyway, that's enough of the shilling for
I
now,
suppose
really.
we'll maybe mention that again at the end when the numbers are a bit up. But
We
yes, if even if you aren't yourself going to Nomos, I'm probably going to put some posts up on Twitter after the stream, and I would appreciate if folk would give them a share, because it just helps us make this whole thing work, really.
It does,
But
yes.
anyway, onto the subject of today, because we've got a decent bit of stuff
We
on
have a rather, I've found rather a lot, because a lot of this is just, a lot of these streams really accumulate over the course of months. Sometimes we'll look into a subject and we'll just get loads and loads of bits about it. This is, it's a history, it's a snapshot, it's a future of, it's basically a CCTV kind of aerial view roundup. It's something we're probably
Yes.
going to get into in greater detail in future, but we'd like this to be a reference stream that touches on all the areas and kind of gives you a picture in totality of where it's come from, where it is, the different aspects of it, and where it's going, really.
Yes.
There we go. Yeah. Let's have a
Oh,
quick look.
pardon.
The first thing I would like to mention, though, is that the UK. It's so ubiquitous and it's so like extensive. You have CCTV cameras. It's a cultural cliche about this
And it's
country.
been a cultural cliche since like the 90s, if
Yes.
not slightly before
Yes, it
that.
has. The
Because
first.
you've got the reference here to the Simpsons episode where, you know, they want to clamp down on crime in Springfield, so they go to a couple of Brits who are all about nanny state and
Yeah,
his
yeah.
brother, and, you know, it's cameras absolutely everywhere, and they have these sort of pompous English characters who are like, well, how ghastly would it not be to know you're not being recorded at every waking moment? And then, of course, the episode is crescendoed by the fact that the two biggest busybodies in bloody Springfield are employed to manage the whole system.
Yeah, it's called To Surveil With Love. It's not a Golden Age episode, but it is season 20, so it is more than a decade ago.
Mm.
Like, well more than a decade ago. That's like, what, early 2000s?
Oh, that's what I was thinking, late 90s, early 2000s,
yeah,
possibly.
It will be around about the year 2000, so that's kind of a joke about how bad the UK has been for so long. But it's got a lot worse since then, really. But I'd like to take you through...
Well, I was going to suggest...
Yeah.
CCTV, like all good British institutions,
yeah,
was invented in Germany.
yes, it was. Well, it's just, despite being invented in the 1940s by an ever-industrious Germany as a way to guard the V2 sites. Think about that. In 1942, Germany has effectively, not even not intercontinental, but ballistic missile sites that are guarded with CCTV. Anyway, early CCTV was mostly live feed only, before the VCR made it ubiquitous. It was only productized in America in 1949 as a very early form, and it only really came to the UK in 1960. So it's both older and younger than you think in many ways. It depends
yes.
its application. Recording live images was an expensive process, as magnetic tape was not as mass-produced and the technologies were cumbersome. But as...
Well, that yeah. sort of... Maybe it's one of the sort of distinguishing elements we'll get on through, but you have a period where CCTV is something you watch to allow you to solve a crime that is happening now.
Yes.
To CCTV becoming something that's recorded that you look at retrospectively to try and solve a crime that's already happened. It's not a positive preventative measure. It's a passive way of hopefully collecting evidence, at least in best faith.
A lot of the histories of CCTV you can find online are very scant. I've had to do a lot of research into stuff, and even then I don't think I've got a good enough picture to show you an in-depth history, let's say, of the who's who and the what's what, and that is deliberate.
Yes.
There was very little legislation in both the UK and bits of America, although there was quite a lot in Europe in the beginning because of... certain paranoias, but the UK didn't have a regulatory framework really until the 1980s, until it was codified. We'll get into that in a bit. But the timeline here is you have it been invented in the early 40s. No one's quite sure the exact date. But by 1949, you have the first commercially available CCTV, but that's in America. 1960, CCTV was first commercially available in the UK, but still live feed only. 1970s, increasing adoption of the VCR makes recorded CCTV more popular. And by the 1990s, you have multiplexing using the same tape for multiple feeds, and it becomes kind of a popular way of merging larger CCTV arrays into a installation that is more efficient for the company. Because CCTV up to this point is absorbitantly expensive,
well, yeah,
really, up into the 90s.
The video cameras weren't extortionate to buy single units, but the storage and management of... the data had to be one camera, one tape.
Yes, it did.
It's only until, as you say, you get this sort of multiplexing formats and all these different multi-channel ways of having information densely stored on tape that really becomes something that the average Joe who owns a shop can afford.
It's really only by the 2000s you get the viability of CCTV arrays like we see today, with footage being stored on hard drives to make networking and the networking of systems becoming easier. By the 2010s you have internet connected Wi-Fi cameras, referred to in the industry as network video recorders, or NVRs, we'll see that language occasionally pop up as we read some of the industry literature. They become more common in domestic use, making CCTV in reach of anyone who wants it. Originally, it was the cheap Chinese DVR things with basically a DVD recorder.
Yes.
They were not the best. But now we have a lot of the Ring cameras, and that's one of the big things we'll get into.
The further point I would make here as well is that really what you see in that sort of timeline you put there together is that you can't really use CCTV as an effective measure for crime fighting really until the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well,
because there's not the ability to store, aggregate and review all the data in the way that there is now. And that means that maybe its intention wasn't always the immediate solving of crimes, but possibly the creation of a psychological factor to do with some sort of knowledge of being surveyed.
A lot of physical security is the illusion of security.
Yes.
You learn this in the building trade, you learn this in the industry. But it is worth noting the first use of CCTV by a UK local council, who, as I found out in my research, and it was pointed out to me by people who were in the CCTV industry, I had a very good message from a couple of people, and I'll be reading kind of an aggregated version of that later on. But the local councils are the ones who operate basically all the CCTV in Britain, or at least the what we think of when we think of a CCTV, which is kind of the housing estate CCTV.
Yeah. I mean, someone in the chat there saying the Bulger murder in 1993 was largely solved because of CCTV images. But that stands out because that was very unique at the time.
CCTV is only used when it cares to be used.
Yes, this is also the other part.
It's very much a tool of anarcho-tyranny, in that what people were pointing out in chat is true, that you have a lot of crimes that happen on camera, in full view of camera.
But then very the footage is just not made usable in court for one reason or another.
Well, it also depends if the police decide if the offence is worth investigating or not. It doesn't matter how much evidence there is to solve the offence. If the police decide that it doesn't meet their threshold for quote-unquote serious crime, they will not investigate it, period.
We have a slightly Tom Bombadil-ish mate of ours who last year was given a right kicking by a geography teacher and his mate in a pub, right outside of it, filmed in the front door on CCTV. And, the pub could physically show our good friend the footage of him getting kicked about. And yet, the police wouldn't take that as evidence. And as you say, it's just because it doesn't suit for one reason or another.
Now, a lot of people talk about that. The police wouldn't investigate robberies. And there's a lot of robberies that are caught on CCTV that will not be investigated. It's the whether a crime is a open and shut case doesn't matter to the police. What matters is crime targets, as we'll get into a bit later as well. Think about the $2 there, Malone. You guys are way ahead of everyone. It's crazy. If anything, we're behind people. And we're kind of looking at stuff that you'd see investigative journalists talk about in the 80s. Because really, that was one of the only periods of concern was the 80s and 90s. There's actually precious little material I can find about CCTV. There were no public protests.
No.
Or at least there'd been small sporadic protests in different housing areas. But really, CCTV has come in with very little opposition, very little fanfare. It wasn't there, and then it was everywhere.
Well, yeah, it almost seems as if, as mentioned towards the tail end of just a little subhead for the article here, number of CCTV cameras in the UK may be as many as 5.2 million. That's with the caveat of the fact that no one actually knows.
No, we'll come across a lot of different numbers, not just for the UK, but for London in this, because no one seems to agree on how many cameras there are, therefore how many cameras per person, therefore how many times each person's caught on CCTV a day.
Well, the one of the things I find interesting as well is there's one camera for every 13 people. The popularity of public surveillance, home CCTV and doorbell camera use increases, 96% of the total number of cameras in the UK are now operated by private businesses and homeowners. I would imagine they don't include dash cams in there, do they? Which are now actually built into many cars as standard.
Yes, basically this doesn't include things like ANPR cameras, as we talked about. So that's 2,000 more cameras in the capital alone. It doesn't cover as well like Ring doorbells. It depends who you ask, but a lot of them don't class those as security cameras. They're doorbell cameras or they're smart doorbells.
Yeah, it's a replacement for a peephole, not an actual method of preventing crime.
Oh, before we go any further, though, I forgot the weather report. It's muggy as hell.
It's shit.
It's just been horribly muggy for the past few days. That's the weather report.
To be fair, it was warm before this and muggy, which was all right. Now it's just a bit and muggy.
Well, what we have really is you can divide CCTV up into three kind of broad categories in which CCTV is talked about, because as big as CCTV is, the discussion of it is largely fragmented. I've kind of classified these as public CCTV as operated by governments, workplace CCTV as operated by businesses, and the new frontier of domestic CCTV. The first area and the first link we had there, like you said, is that most CCTV now, 96% they're saying, although that number varies too, it seems to be between 80 and 96%.
Well, that's 96% of the total number of cameras are not directly operated by the government, quote-unquote.
Yes. Yes, this is where the public-private partnership stuff comes in. But businesses are expected to have CCTV as part of their security package for insurance purposes. That's true. Even if businesses didn't want CCTV, they would not be allowed to have it. There's like statutory minimums almost for the amount of CCTV coverage you have to get certain insurance brackets. It is mandated in much of Britain and also much of Europe. It's almost unheard of to have a business or an office complex without any kind of CCTV. Oof, next point here is that, again, the numbers here don't match up, but Clarion Research, Clarion Security Systems estimates that there are nearly a million. It's 942,000. It's nearly a million CCTV cameras in London, meaning there is one CCTV camera for every 10 people in the capital. You are likely to be captured on London CCTV up to 70 times a day. There's another estimate that says the amount of cameras in London are about 1.4 million and that you get captured 300 times a day. Mm-hmm. There's another estimate that says they are about 1.1 million. You get captured about 110 times a day. I chose this one, actually, because it seems to be the lower bound estimate.
Well, I think this is also because if you were in some way, shape or form able to map all the locations of all the CCTV cameras in Britain and therefore work out all the blind spots,
yeah,
that this is something they wouldn't want people to know about. Which is, it brings an interesting aspect into it before we move on. Which is, I'm thoroughly of the belief that if they wanted to, they could hide cameras in all sorts of places without us ever seeing them.
Oh, thank you for the £5 there, Panama Hat. Even in the based country, is there any way to avoid surveillance tech now that is in place? Sorry to hear about the bank trouble, by the way. It's just living in a bureaucratic society, don't worry about it, Mr. Hat. But even in a based country, the only way to avoid surveillance tech is to live in a community in which you know everyone, yes. Effectively.
Or live somewhere small enough that having big white CCTV cameras on poles would be at least obtrusive. But I was going to get to one of the points I was speaking about there, which is that I'm well of the opinion that they could keep every single, you know, CCTV camera in Britain basically hidden.
Yeah.
But they don't. Because part of it isn't just about using them to solve crimes or accrue evidence or, you know, make sure people are even watched. It's making people know internally that they are being watched. And I love the line here. CCTV was first used temporarily in London during the Queen's coronation. At the same time, they gave everyone subsidised TVs too.
Yes. And started to be installed permanently in the 1960s. But really, these are in quite small numbers. As we'll get to, the boom is the 90s. But here we have Daily Mail article about how London is one of the most surveilled cities in the world. They estimate that there are 67.47 cameras to each person in London. I don't know what that means. But it's a slightly different figure.
Percentage of CCTV what? So there's...
That's a mislabel that. Basically, number of CCTV cameras per 1,000 people. So it's 67.47 per 1,000.
Right.
But basically, they are estimating here that London is the third most surveilled city in terms of per capita than anywhere. We are the surveillance capital of not only Europe, but up until recently of the world. Really, up until about 2010, I believe, no one's quite sure when the switch ever happened, but really up until about 2010, Britain was the most surveilled country per capita
in the world.
In the world. and really, part of its effect is largely psychological. Part of its effect is that you start to realise how ineffectual CCTV is.
Yes.
And how weak, really, the digital panopticon can be and how useless it is at the normal things that are expected of a higher trust society. But anyway, we were talking about surveillance cameras in the workplace. And a lot of this really comes from the fact that Brits have been sold on the idea that every business and even every individual needs a surveillance camera. It is a very big thrust in the low trust society aspect of this.
I find interesting as well, for all the things that are sold to us as EU bureaucracy,
yeah,
EU totalitarianism, Brussels gone mad,
yeah,
that CCTV as a mandate originates in many workplaces here. of the UK.
Yes, one of the things I found working abroad, and this is from, I found this out because I did some work in Finland. I did a project in Finland, and I did a bit of a project in Finland, really. I was covering for somebody, but when I went out there, I was told that we had to do the security cameras different because there's very strict rules in Finland when it comes to who can and can't be used, who can and can't be filmed in the workplace. And a lot of Scandinavian countries have this as well. This is just kind of comparing the two. So this is what they say about an international view on video surveillance of employees. United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has more of a culture of employee monitoring compared to some other European jurisdictions. However, this is not to say that monitoring may be undertaken without restriction. The right to private life applies to UK workplaces under Article 8 of the European Convention and under the UK Human Rights Act, which incorporates this right into UK law. Whilst not technically binding, this judgment must be taken into account by US domestic courts determining questions of the right to private life. So basically, it's just a top-end aspirational statement. There's actually no restrictions of in for CCTV
Well,
use in the workplace in the UK.
and you know as well that this would be argued as not a duty of
Yeah.
individuals to represent this because that's feasibly impossible.
Yes.
You cannot have a privacy agreement between even people that are neighbours that isn't, spoken and lived to a certain extent. So of course, when it comes to you and your employer says, "Oh, well, of course, the CCTV camera isn't there to spy on you. It's to make sure you, as a worker in this place, is safe."
Wait, it's fortunate that Dan Evans, Dan on the Door, is part of a Steely Dan tribute band called Neely Danny. Has a git what? He's part. I've seen Neely Dan about 7 times. Really good. Anyway, sorry. Just I that's kind of funny. Weird Neely Dan reference there, but Neely Dan are really good. Weird tangent, but he says yes. As in Spain, the right to privacy in the UK is a qualified right as opposed to an absolute right, meaning that it may be infringed where it is necessary and proportionate to do so. This judgment represents a common sense approach, blah blah blah. So really,
Common sense, i.e., it works for us.
yes. There it is. I'll try and find this the
It's just
Finland
now
one.
in Finland.
There
There you
you
go.
go.
I can read this one out if you want.
Yeah.
Whereas, say, Finland, the Act on the Protection of Privacy in Working Life sets out strict conditions for the use of camera surveillance in the workplace. Camera surveillance must be transparent, which includes ensuring that employees are consulted and notified before surveillance starts, and a prominent notification is displayed in areas where cameras are located. It is generally prohibited to direct cameras at particular workstations, but this is allowed in certain cases if, for example, it is necessary to prevent or investigate property crimes. However, employees must be informed of the location of directed cameras. The law does not allow covert surveillance or camera surveillance in the workplace. However, should an employer collect footage by these means, this would not in itself prevent the employer from dismissing an employee based on the footage or submitting the footage as evidence in a trial. The employer would, of course, risk being sanctioned for the covert surveillance. Again, it's still very much it is this way, but it isn't sort of attitude. It's very obvious that this is being written in a way that people may get in trouble for CCTV or surveillance, but only in extreme cases where they have zero justification.
Yes,
And the only slight difference is really the fact that many Continentals, if you told them you're going to be filmed whilst you work, would never turn up to work again.
well, I'll read a quote about this later because I didn't have time to include all of this, but CCTV operation and kind of CCTV installation and a lot of stuff to do with CCTV in aggregate is a blue collar industry. It is not a prestigious industry, and these people are actually subject to very strict rules because the UK government and other governments really would like to keep the information gathering aspect of all of this to themselves. It's more of a monopoly making thing, but this is the white paper from a CCTV company called Calypso. The changing role of operatives in the future of the control room. They basically talk about the COVID stuff and remote stuff and amplification of technology, but CCTV control rooms are always very threadbare operations. The weakest link is always the operator. The
Yes.
problem is always between the monitor and the chair.
What do you mean? Do you mean the set of DMV nails behind the keyboard looking at the monitor isn't always paying attention? What monitors the ideal number and when you should take a break? Give us that. I need to see what this nonsense is. The number of monitors per operator varies widely depending on the company and the nature of the site, blah blah blah. If each of the following tasks: video monitoring, alarms for detection. Oh, I was hoping there'd be some silly stuff in there, but it's just dry.
It's very dry. It's a very boring industry, and it's not a particularly lucrative industry for
like
those who are involved in it,
apart
from at the top.
Try to tell people how to scan stuff. Detect 10%, observe a quarter, recognise half of them, and identify that.
It's like telling a fast food worker how not to burn the burgers, but that's what it is. It is like a fast food industry. CCTV is supposed to be this incredibly powerful crime-fighting tool, and it is not treated in such a way. We have an intelligent apparatus that's so big that it stumbles over itself. Mm. It is not able to fulfil its function apart from in very isolated cases in which they are trying already over and above to find what's been going on. It's only when something catches the eye or attention of the power structure that CCTV comes into place. It is largely a dull tool that is mostly ignored. It's really funny. They've created all of this information and they have all of this kind of networking in place in terms of physical infrastructure, and the personage infrastructure is woeful.
Mm.
And it's one of the things that I found again and again and again and again and again about how threadbare the industry is, and how because of the amount of CCTV there actually is a problem. It is a huge problem, the amount of footage that this generates, and it is just so much noise. It's very much kind of a revolution of mass and scale thing in which they've invented this supposedly perfect management tool. They have created the video panopticon, and it doesn't work.
Yes.
It doesn't function. The video panopticon does not work.
It's almost like someone paid a very small wage who maybe is put into the job because they actually don't care about the public they're protecting is not the same as having, you know, like rightful citizens police their own streets or something.
No, it is not like that at all. But now we must move really into the heart of the matter, the thing that most people are concerned with, which is government use of CCTV. It is what we think of when we think of CCTV, even though it is the vast minority now of CCTV, because CCTV is so ubiquitous, it is expected in almost every setting, even the domestic ones we'll get onto at the end, because I think really that is the one we need to worry about, is the cultural penetration of the idea of CCTV as not something to be feared, but something that is standard and neutral and normal.
Well, yeah, that's... I mean, you're going to go at the source here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to presume straight away, but I would imagine that in some sense, because the site is called Liberties, that they have at least a liberal or libertarian leaning. Now, what is... There is no libertarian or liberal response to this.
No.
Because it's all the insurance companies that actually put the necessity for most of it to be there.
Well, it's also a vacuum of regulation.
Mm.
A lot of it is, well, you can have it legally, it might help the tech crimes, so you should have it.
Well, just to be more in the sense of, you can't operate a business without CCTV, so how do you combat CCTV? You're gonna go against AIG and the big insurance groups. They're just going to be as hard as governments to bloody get in trouble.
Well, the whole point, they actually have a decent little section here. It's one of the few I could find that has a little bit of the history of CCTV. The first use of public surveillance cameras steadily increased throughout the 20th century, especially following World War II. In 1968, Orleans, New York became the first city in the United States to install video cameras along its main business street with the purpose of reducing crime. It's really sold as a panacea to the crime problems that result from the civil rights era, and in the UK, really from the post-industrial kind of influx era of city centres becoming more lawless. It is one of the only things that the managerial class does visibly with the rising urban decay and crime. Their solution is one of technology, as it always is.
I do wonder, though, just because it's me and I'm always curious about these things, do you think that paragraph above about some Russian physicist inventing CCTV in 1927 and showing it to Stalin and Stalin being very impressed is just like nonsense historiography?
Yes, I think it is, yes. YouTube has made ad settings really hard to change, so I'm afraid some of you may get ads at some point. I've tried to turn it off, but I can't do it midstream. YouTube's ad settings are fucking terrible right now, so apologies If you do guys do get any ads, I'm trying to make sure it actually skips them. But yeah, YouTube has changed the way it handles ads, and now we don't have as much control.
No.
Lovely. The first installed permanently by a local government in the UK was King's Lynn in Norfolk in 1987. That's how recent it was, though. That is quite a recent development, though. Yeah, PooTube does force ads on everything. It's really, really, really shitty, and I
And we
wish they
don't even
wouldn't.
get paid for those ads, they're forced on it.
No, that we don't really. We basically get nothing from them, so that's why we try and disable them as much as possible. But yeah, don't worry. We try and keep these as ad free as possible, but sometimes that's not possible. Anyway, this is, I think, one of the best that I found, because this, I think, is a good charter of the 1990s, at least, rise of CCTV as a ubiquitous force. I'll give you a quick shot of the headline there, because as is tradition in web, I guess from 3.0 now,
No one knows
installations,
how to format a website
massive fat
anymore.
title, tiny, skinny, mobile-friendly text. Lovely.
Awful.
Awful. So they're really hard to display on screen, but
Everything's a Substack
this is from Calipsarite again. I'm not
now.
quite sure who they are, but they have some decent stuff. The story of CCTV in Europe, from resistance to adoption. Here we go. For many of us, CCTV is part of modern life, particularly for those of us who live in cities. Video surveillance technology is something we have come to expect. However, in many European countries, the widespread use of CCTV for commercial and security purposes is a fairly recent development. Video surveillance as we know it today started around 1970 with the rise of early analog recording systems used for surveillance measures. Nevertheless, it has had varying growth rates, uses, and perceptions across different countries in Europe, according to their institutional and socio economic frameworks. But really, not having CCTV hasn't saved places.
No.
It's something that happens in terms of, visible kind of dystopian stuff, but really rates of CCTV don't seem to move the needle. It's more of a perception thing, like you said, but anyway. Initial resistance to CCTV. In the late 80s and early 90s, CCTV adoption for security purposes started gaining traction in the UK. However, other European countries resisted these developments. So, what co caused this marked difference? In the Citizens, Cities and Video Surveillance report, we learned that the early expansion of CCTV in the UK took place within a regulatory vacuum due to the UK Data Protection Act of 1984 leaving out the regulation of analog systems. Consequently, the use of video surveillance is seen as a magic tool to capture criminal activity as it took place, which doesn't happen.
Yeah,
It's
and
actually kind of useless for that.
do you want me to continue on here? Across the channel, the fear of privacy infringements meant most European countries had serious reservations about adopting CCTV. I mean, as they would, as nations that got a lot closer to certain mid-century ideas than we did, you can't really blame them for that. For example, in Germany, the former Federal Interior Minister saw surveillance as infringing fundamental rights and warned against blanket surveillance. In France, the court in Marseille ruled against a project in 1990 to install 93 cameras as it was seen as a disproportionate violation to privacy. Despite these initial positions, trends of CCTV adoption across European countries quickly started to emerge over the late 80s and 90, or over the late 90s and 2000s. Oh, pardon me, dinner's coming back with a vengeance. These can be divided into two main categories. Adoption of video surveillance in publicly accessible locations, such as banks, restaurants, malls, or schools. Such adoption is perceived as controlled, since people can clearly assume that they are being watched once they enter specific locations. The idea behind it is that it can be equated to having a security guard when entering a building.
That's such a cope, and that's such a cultural thing that's been instilled in people now,
This
yeah.
is just because they're going to attach guns to the cameras after long
Yeah.
enough. Adoption of open street surveillance, which is used in public areas such as streets, metros, public touristic areas,
Yeah.
is seen as a bigger infringement of privacy since one cannot clearly be aware when and where one's being watched. The Urbanae project by Hempel and Topfer documents the proliferation of cameras across Europe since 2000, showing that when the UK there were around 40,000 open street CCTV cameras monitoring public spaces, There were probably fewer than 1,000 across the other European countries included in the survey.
Yes, we were just really the early adopter. Britain was kind of a CCTV petri dish. You now do see it absolutely everywhere. I know a lot of people were quite publicly alarmed to see, you know, so much visible security. But really, it is quite a large demoralization tactic. It is there really to let the British public know that they are being watched. It's to be seen rather than anything else. The growing adoption of CCTV in Europe, following the UK, the next countries that had an increased rate of adoption of video surveillance using open street cameras were the southern and eastern European countries. As Professor Clive Norris explains in his review of European CCTV, France laxed its laws governing public space surveillance through the PASCA law in 1995, prescribing its usage in areas with high risk of being assaulted or stolen, causing a rapid development of CCTV in public spaces, which caused more than 200 cities in France to receive approval of CCTV installations in high-risk locations between 1997 and 1999. As we go down to later as well, this is because the European Parliament codifies it. But the PASCA law really is to do with the fact that Algerians were going around murdering people in the suburbs of Paris, and a large part of the CCTV justification in France was because of these extremely violent immigrant communities that everybody knew who was doing it, and yet the assumption that everyone is a criminal must come out of that, because yes, you can't treat citizens differently.
Yeah, there are a specific group of people carrying specific acts out in specific areas for specific reasons. Henceforth, we must criminalise everyone subtly as a way to solve this problem.
Yeah, same story for the Netherlands and Italy, where in 1997 the first cameras were first used in the public space. By 2003, more than 80 of Netherlands' 550, so about a sixth of the municipalities, were using CCTV in public spaces. At the same time, in Italy, the Ministry of Interior had installed CCTV in the most sensitive areas of 50 Italian cities. In the city of Milan, there are now over 600 publicly funded cameras. However, other countries, particularly Norway, Denmark, Sweden, and Finland, have been reluctant to install widespread open CCTV. That is now changing, I believe. I think this is a bit old, but in response to a lot of the bombings that have been going on.
Oh, the grenade attacks.
Yes, the grenade attacks.
if we're going to continue reading this, I'm going to have to mention the unmentionable.
Yes.
Which European countries have adopted CCTV?
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, the rate of adoption started rising exponentially in most European countries. Terrorism triggers such as the 9/11 attacks and the bombings in Madrid and 7/7 in London led countries to no longer ignore the potential technological assets that might help them guarantee the security of their citizens. As a result, the new priority for many European countries was the rapid increase of public surveillance for security purposes. I mean, I just want to, as an aside, as a viewer of this channel and someone who is willing to really consider things that other people will not, I am asking you all in future to engage in what I'm going to refer from now on as 9/11 ignorance. Someone tries to explain to you 9/11, pretend that you've never heard about it. They knocked down two bloody towers in New York with planes, and they were all get hijacked by Muslims with box cutters. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. Try it. It'll be a good laugh. Anyway, in addition, we're still in that one above, sorry.
Yeah.
This trend can be seen all across European countries, as demonstrated in the Urban Eye survey. In France in 2007, the government planned to increase its 340,000 cameras threefold and expand the 6,500 cameras on the metro. Germany has doubled the number of cities.
They're glossing up. France doesn't have a single camera until 1995.
Yes.
And by 2007, it has 340,000 of them.
And 6,500 ones that are constantly moving on train carriages, covering everything they pass. Germany's doubled the number of cities with CCTV from 15 to 30, and the Republic of Ireland has increased the number of CCTV systems from 21 to 49. And you mentioned when we were
Because you're mostly watching a dude with a cow.
Yeah. Well, you also mentioned the fact that, of course, earlier on, 7/7, 9/11, terrorism.
Yeah.
One of the big pushes for it really early on in Britain was the IRA.
Yes, it was.
But anyway, in addition, despite the Nordic countries' long-standing reluctance to embrace public area CCTV, Finland introduced a major system in Helsinki in 2006, and Denmark introduced 19 camera systems in 2008. In Eastern Europe, Poland launched a major wide city system in Warsaw with 515 cameras in 2007. In the Czech Republic, Prague's system has been expanded to 400 cameras. And in Croatia, Zagreb announced a new city-wide system of 225 cameras to be announced in introduced in 2009.
This is quite... I believe this is from 2008, this article.
Mm.
It's quite old. You don't see many of them like this.
By 2009, CCTV systems operating in public space for the purposes of crime prevention were present in Austria, Bulgaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Lithuania, Netherlands, Poland,
basically
Norway,
the entire
Portugal,
EU.
Yeah. Nevertheless, the UK stays ahead of the curve with the expansion and use of new and advanced CCTV technology. As a study by Katharina Buchholz in 2019 shows,
updated.
London is the most surveyed city with 68.4 cameras per 1,000 inhabitants, a completely different number from the other one from earlier,
yeah.
Compared to 11.2 in Berlin, 7.4 in Vienna, 7.2 in Turkey, 4.4 and so on and so forth. This means that despite most European cities having CCTV systems in place, there is still room for growth. And I'm almost certain somewhere Matt Goodwin is writing out a tweet about the fact that us not being in the EU means it's better because we can have more CCTV cameras.
Yes. Apologies for the slight echo there. It happens when you don't... I think our compression's a bit high, but it doesn't matter now. It's a bit of a weird environment. Thank you for the £10 every night. CCTV being there to demoralise... is further backed up by the now notoriously poorly maintained... The camera doesn't even need to work. It just needs to be there and have the intended effect. A lot of the US security cameras are fake. A lot of them here are fake as well. Or they might as well be. Or they were real at one point. A lot of people and a lot of businesses basically give up on their CCTV because it's so hard to use and the police do not utilise it when it's given to them. We'll be getting into that in some detail in a bit. That's the most comprehensive source I found on this. And it's a bit of a higgledy-piggledy, cobbled together article from a few kind of different years, honestly. Someone asked about the Evelyn Dutton conversation. It's on his Odyssey channel.
Yes,
and
it's on his Odyssey.
If you go to the community tab on this channel, it's there.
Yes.
I post it in the community post. That solves that mystery. But to move on to the next point here, it's interesting to note that in the mid-90s was a breakthrough point when it comes to popular opposition to CCTV in Europe, almost universally adopted in 1997. And again, I don't have it in the source here, but that was via an EU law. All I have on that is some very boring internal text. You are technically supposed to be able to request CCTV of yourself, but this relies on layers of goodwill, and the knowledge of when/where precisely you've been filmed. And it also relies on people just bothering to find it too. A lot of the time they just...
Oh, sorry, we're recorded over it. Is the classic.
Yes, it is. One of the other... the sources about CCTV in the UK, I'm surprised by how scant they are. But going to Wikipedia and having a quick whip around there, really, you do get a few... jumping off points, and quite honestly, I hadn't found this, some of this other stuff documented anywhere. Or at least if it is documented, it's documented in a scanner detail, it's documented in the Wikipedia article, so I might as well just read this. Number of cameras. The vast majority of CCTV cameras are not operated by the government, bodies, but by private individual companies. We covered that, especially to monitor the interiors of business. According to a 2011 Freedom of Information Act request, the total number of local governments operate CCTV cameras was around 52,000 over the entirety of the UK.
Scroll up again, though, because an article published in CCTV Image magazine estimated the number of private and local government-operated cameras in the United Kingdom was 1.85 million in 2011.
Yes. In 2013, the Home Office published a surveillance camera code of practice. For the use of surveillance cameras, including automatic number plate recognition systems by local and government authorities. Again, I looked into it. This is really where the ANPR camera gets its legal standing from. It's by the supposed regulation of it. The aim of the code is to help ensure CCTV use is characterized as surveillance by consent and such consent on the part of the community must be informed consent, not assumed by a system operator. Surveillance by consent should be regarded as analogous to policing by consent. So again, you have a lot of this consent language. Within British law, the arguments around CCTV are that you have consented to it. That is the legal arguments around CCTV, that because it has signage, you have consented to being filmed by going near the camera.
Yep.
Just don't walk on the street, bro.
It's that 1.85 million number in 2011, though. That would then suggest that there is a lot more than the number posited earlier, anyway.
Well, I don't know. Before we go to the ANPR camera stuff, I just have some funnier stuff here. We've got, of course, the very famous Secure Beneath the Watchful Eyes poster,
God.
Which I've used some of the eyes of that in the thumbnail, but that is one of the most famous examples of pro-CCTV propaganda, and it was very obviously meant to be a humiliation exercise.
Well, you had all the Big Brother ones as well during COVID.
Yes, you did. Here's the quick chart about most surveilled cities in Europe, as you're talking about. It is a slightly different number than the other one, but it's from a slightly different year. But this should show you quite how ahead...
The scale in and of itself is enough to tell, really.
Yes, that is the visual representation of what we just talked about. And I've just got a quick slideshow here of the... some of them have... I couldn't find them that wasn't a terrible stock photo, but like the anti-vandalism spikes and also the anti-bird spikes... Meet Cameron. Look at that.
That is awful. It's just missing the solar panel and the little bus stop sign on it.
Well, the one in the thumbnails, there's a lot of there's a lot of egregious arrays. These are all from London.
Of course.
If you
want
to see egregious CCTV arrays, just look into London. Because in China, they have a bit more space and they actually plan them out a bit better, to be honest. CCTV in London, from my kind of quick image search, is actually worse.
No, there is bits of Piccadilly Gardens where there's just awful, like, jungle, sort of almost foliage of CCTV cameras hanging off the side of, like, Georgian buildings.
Anyway, the next frontier, really, in the security camera and CCTV is the ANPR, or Automatic Number Plate Recognition Camera. If you want to see more about that, do go look at our demobilization stream. But again, from a source that I want to get up because it was boring, vehicle movements on UK roads are recorded by a network of 11,000, I believe that's more like 15,000 now, cameras that read around 60 million number plates daily. So if you travel in the UK, basically, and if you go on and off a motorway anywhere in the UK, you will have your number plate logged by an ANPR camera, which is data that is shared with the police automatically.
What I come to instantly here is that the law has been written for over a decade in a way that allows them to collect number plate data that's on ANPR cameras.
Yes.
The technology has been there since just before COVID started, but the real way to combat it, according to all these, like, sceptic protest groups online, is to smash the ULEZ cameras.
Yes.
Which, okay, they're the ULEZ cameras, but all the other cameras with ANPR functions can do the same job.
Yeah, and they're also getting, they've ordered so many of them, they're getting cheaper as well. But surveillance using automatic number plate recognition to track much of the UK road network via smart motorways and various clean air zones is a reality. So-called pay-as-you-drive schemes require them basically on all roads, or for all cars to effectively be tracked constantly by the government. This was seen as a pervasive China nightmare 10 years ago, but is a current reality in the UK now. Emphasis here on the need to control and distribute mobility.
Yeah, well, the managerial society and the technological complex is buckling under its weight so heavily that they actually have to bring in modes of control for distributing the ability to be mobile to some groups and not others, to some individuals and not others.
Yes.
You know, it's not just about, I think that's the thing sometimes, people look at the 15-minute cities thing and you think, oh, well, everyone's going to be stuck together. It's like, no. Everyone's going to be stuck together so that very specific people, for very specific reasons, can then become mobile at the expense of your basically now static life.
Yes, I will take this opportunity to say that I've got to say an intro as well to do interact with the video if you do want to see more of these. I
Yes.
know we're kind of dropping in at a random point here, but I forgot earlier, and it is quite important. It does make a difference. So I know it's stupid gay YouTubey stuff, but do comment and like and all that good stuff because otherwise we would just be buried in the algorithm.
Yes, please do. I also kind of like Amy's comment in the chat there about CCTV mug trees. That's pretty good.
Effectively, yeah, they just look silly, a lot of these. But this is an article from August 2022, so a year ago, that Sadiq Khan issues with legal challenge of a terrifying number plate camera decision. It's what we all knew, in that the ANPR cameras that are just meant to be there purely for the enforcement of the congestion charge in the clean air zone are just security cameras that can read number plates. And by the way, faces. It's the
Yep.
same, it's similar software. They're recognition cameras,
It
is what they are.
recognizes shapes.
Yes.
Some shapes are faces, some shapes are numbers and letters.
Yes. The mayor of London has given the Metropolitan Police access to more data from a larger number of ANPR cameras around London. I'll just quickly read this. Every day, 55 million reads of number plates. That's not people, that's just reads. You'll be read possibly hundreds of times driving around London. But nowhere are they more densely packed than the capital city, which is believed to have around 2,000 cameras sending tens of millions of reads a day back to the operator. Now the mayor of London has given police access to more data from a larger number of cameras as privacy campaigners were up in arms. Where's this? This includes the color and make of vehicles and potentially the faces of drivers and passing pedestrians, which is known by the London authorities as enhanced contextual data. They have to have front of vehicle photos because if you're in violation, they have to prove that you're driving, which
Well,
by the way, that means they need a picture of your face.
see, the thing is though, is they've been taking things like little bits of data about the colour and make of vehicles all the way back in the early congestion charge stuff in like the 2000s.
Yes.
Because we've been rewatching obviously some of the old Top Gears recently, and they did the joke, James Mason, the fact, well, they've brought this new thing in for the congestion charge. You tell them what your car is, they find it on the CCTV camera, and then they verify where you parked it. And
Yeah.
he says the fact, in one word to describe the color of your vehicle, and then henceforth he's described as driving an Fiat Panda. But
Yeah.
it goes to show that they had already normalized the idea of collecting these bits of information.
Of
So all of a
course.
sudden it goes from, oh well, instead of you having to phone the congestion charge people up and tell you or tell them the make and model of your car and the color of it, the cameras are clever enough to do it themselves now. Isn't that so convenient?
Well, the whole thing is that the Metropolitan Police had argued they needed access to the congestion charge and ULEZ reads database, basically, so they could track stolen vehicles. So if your vehicle gets stolen, they can use the ANPR cameras to locate it. But now it's just become that these are security cameras. They can get whatever information they want from these cameras, as has always been the case. It's the idea that there are limits on the use of this surveillance is foolish. There are limits on what the operators can do because those are not meant for the people in power. But when it comes to the use of the surveillance, it is once again completely unlimited because it is a trust exercise. You have to trust that this information will not be stolen from you and will not be used in ways that are untoward. And they're going to be.
Do you not find that interesting as well, though?
Yeah.
Spokesperson for the Mayor of London said modern technology has a vital role to play in protecting Londoners and tackling serious crime. The use of cameras for ANPR has been in place since 2015, after being introduced by the previous mayor. Oh, it's big Bojo, isn't it?
Yes.
It's big Liberty, big Brexit Boris Johnson, who loves Britain, wanted to bring in all the cameras to track you from one end of London to
We know what this means, don't you? It's New Britain. It's
Oh,
bonkers, Boris, security, ULEZ, ANPR, brilliant bonkers, crime-busting cameras.
man.
The Boris cameras will keep you safe.
I don't want to live in the Boris Gulag.
Yeah, Boris Gulag. Khan merely inherited the Boris cameras. You
Yeah.
know why? Because he didn't build New Britain. The Conservative Party did.
You think
Oh.
someone would be talking about that though again in all this anti-ULEZ stuff? Is that, oh, actually a certain Boris Johnson, set the standard for it to some
Well,
extent?
exactly what we said in our demobilisation stream has come true.
I'm sorry, the role Chris G, local democracy reporter, he's probably reporting to the fucking commissar.
Possibly, yes. Defunct Clean Air Zone, the Greater Manchester Clean Air Zone, we talked about a lot in the demobilisation stream. Are costing £375k a month, but have helped solve serious crimes. Bolton Council hears heard calls for the cameras to be removed. As we talked about, the arse fell out of basically turning Greater Manchester into a giant clean air zone, an entire county, which would have been the largest concentration of, well, it is the largest concentration of ANPR cameras outside of London. Are in Greater Manchester. The scheme's fallen through. A lot of residents have called for them to be removed, and now they have pivoted their arguments to say that the ANPR cameras are actually a crime-fighting tool. They are, in fact, a surveillance tool. They are saying that openly to try and defend their existence, because they really have nothing else there. Hundreds of roadside surveillance cameras installed to enforce the stalled Greater Manchester Clean Air Zone have been used by police to help solve two murders, a fatal hit-and-run crashes, and a drug case, and other crimes, councillors have heard. But any of you who have submitted CCTV footage know that the crime like resolution rates in Britain are terrible.
Yes.
And that they do not use this footage. And the idea that this is a crime-fighting tool is a lot of bunk. But we have some more specific stuff later. But the ANPR camera, which, by the way, is the facial recognition camera there basically identical to each other? It has been pivoted to where these clean air kind of zones have been partially stalled by residents. They've pivoted to the security angle. And it's very clear that all these cameras are souped up smart security cameras, as we'll get into with some of the literature that goes with them from the private industry. But that neatly really brings us into facial recognition. If you guys want to see us do a stream with a guest about CCTV, we already did that, actually. We did that with Semiogog.
We mentioned a number of interesting things.
Yes. Go and look at our You Aren't Paranoid Enough stream. I'll link both the streams I mentioned in the description when the stream's finished, just so people can go and see them. But yeah, we did talk about ANPR cameras in our demobilization stream, and also in our You Aren't Paranoid Enough stream, we also talk quite heavily about facial recognition. And this really is the frontier of CCTV. This is partially why it's been so normalized. And the idea that, again, the idea of an ANPR camera went from, ooh, dystopian China tracking all their drivers, to, oh, look, it's everywhere in Britain.
We actually need it to protect our people.
Yes, and
facial recognition row, police gave King's Cross owner images of seven people. This is from all the way back in October 2019. Met apologises after local police passed on images for controversial surveillance scheme.
Well, the story is, we've covered this before, it's a public-private partnership meant that MI5 and the police promised not to roll out facial recognition, but they then used a street-facing development to get a private company to do it for them. This is very clearly being done on the behalf of the police, but because it's a private partnership, it doesn't count. And that's really how they've cracked open
It's just what some private individuals being doing. Therefore, they aren't as accountable in the way that we as a government are, because they don't have to be transparent.
Since 2019, private and police use of facial recognition has become uncontroversial, with a news cycle merely chronicling its rise. Here's one from 2020. Co-op is using facial recognition tech to scan and track shoppers. Branches of Southern Co-op are using facial recognition to look for potential shoplifters. The rollout raises concerns about the creep of surveillance tech in the private sector. It's just the story is just then waffling, to be honest. Here's another one from The Independent. Facial recognition becoming epidemic in British public spaces from 2019. Shopping and conference centres found to have used controversial technology. Again, the way facial recognition is talked about has fundamentally altered since 2020.
Yes.
These are the stories you get. Yes, they are still merely chronicling its rise, but they're doing so in a disapproving way. These days, you'll have it done in a very neutral way. It's gone from soft negative to neutral, and I believe we're seeing soft positive coming through the pipeline about facial recognition. But many shopping centres in Britain, here's a picture of Meadow Hall.
The narrative there is already teed up, grooming incident by Albanian gang scuppered by facial recognition cameras.
Yes.
Well, there's our old friend from the Big Brother watch, Silky Carlo.
It's not Big Brother intervention, it's just Big Brother watch. Mm. They watch it, they tell you about it, and they do nothing because they are part of the process.
Yep.
as we neatly covered
Manufacturing consent is the name of the game.
Last year, the Trafford Centre in Manchester was pressed to stop using live facial recognition, after 6 months of monitoring visitors following an intervention by the Surveillance Camera Commissioner, Tony Porter. The collusion between police and private companies in building these surveillance nets around the popular spaces is deeply disturbing. Facial recognition is the perfect tool of oppression, and the widespread use we've found indicates we're facing a privacy emergency. Doesn't also stop.
It's just the widespread use that's a problem. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Again, this is haggling. What we saw in 2019 was haggling with a box guard door. What we see now really is the begrudging acceptance of facial recognition as normality.
An interesting thing I consider here as well, just reading that bottom line, the use of live facial recognition by two police officers' forces is currently under judicial review, and the Information Commissioner is examining potential data and privacy law breaches. This is how you end up with like some sort of weird Chinese law about how you, for the time being, own your face, but publicly, we need a record of your face.
Yes.
So you don't get caught up in a facial recognition crime incident.
Well, once again, facial recognition has canned developments now, so-called smart surveillance. Here we see gigabytes, and you have full developments that are useful for catching, you know, quote-unquote registered criminals, as they were, still require a public-private partnership. So you do have these supposedly purely private facial recognition initiatives. Again, Gigabyte, the technology company here, has a AI face recognition smart surveillance system. AI-powered smart security system is the most powerful backing. But this is because of something, and I'll read it in a bit, but this is because of really the operator crisis, as it were, in the sheer amount of CCTV means you have to employ an army of minimum wage operators, which really this is advertising around. It's, again, the self-governing system. It is the managerial kind of dream of a handful of people running the world with technology.
Yeah, it's like the UBI argument again, almost.
High accuracy, save time and manpower. That's the main thing. Easy integration, lightweight. Enhance the value of data.
Ugh. Oof. Who's like the partners on this then? Is it like the Tony Blair Institute?
No, this is just Geico or something. This is Gigabyte trying to flog their wares, is what this is. Smart surveillance systems, IP face recognition stuff. So yeah, they're just
enterprise, retail, hospital.
Yeah, and they've got a whole like dashboard. The Logitech G Face Manager. I hope this also has RGB. G facial recognition system with IP cam. Again, all of this stuff. In not banning it, that has been a decisionary thing. In not restricting it, that is decisionary. It's very clear that all of this is being allowed to happen until it is so normalized that they can just go, well, we've had facial recognition for 10 years now. What are you talking about? The private sector uses it all the time.
Yeah, the laws have been there since 2013.
Here we have another kind of, this is the creeping argument. This is from 2018, but this is some very early positive reporting about facial recognition from Grimsby Live. I've been to Grimsby. It's fucking awful. I've been recently too. High-tech facial recognition CCTV could be used to curb troubles in Grimsby town centre. New cameras, increased patrols, new cycling laws, and more bins aimed at curbing troubles in Grimsby top town are all being looked at. Here's another stock image, I don't like that.
So there's people waddling through Grimsby Main Street.
Yeah. The problem with Grimsby is it's fucking grim. CCTV with advanced facial recognition features can soon be operating in Grimsby Town Centre to curb troubles. The high-tech enhanced images recording compare facial characteristics with images on police databases, so it is a police one, and could help keep Grimsby's top town safer, says police chiefs. It could deter people from being violent, shoplifting, or behaving antisocially. The arguments for facial recognition, though, are the same arguments for CCTV. We now have ubiquitous CCTV. We now have CCTV everywhere. You can't go around a British town or city without being on dozens of cameras, and yet it's changed nothing.
Well, it's almost as if, just like, as we originally stated with CCTV, that the psychological effect is what they're after.
Yes.
It's not the fact that your face is actually being tracked by a camera, it's the fact that you might consider that your face is being tracked by a camera. You say Grimsby's grim though. I mean, it mentions up there that it's called Top Town. It can't be that bad.
But anyway, it's just, it's really funny that the CCTV hasn't worked, but facial recognition CCTV will be a panacea.
Oh, that will work.
Yeah, that will it'll work this time.
That we got it wrong before, but this time we're going to be even more intrusive, and it will work.
Opposition to facial recognition from councils humorously stems from discrimination worries. They have no qualms with CCTV and the
On
facial recognition
principle.
in the abstract. What they seem to think is that it might be a racist nightmare state rather than just a nightmare state, and that won't do.
Are you trying to say the AI algorithms are going to learn to look out for brown faces over white ones on their own
It's
behalf?
just the headline here. Newham Council rejects use of live facial recognition tech by police. One, they couldn't. The police basically told them to go stuff themselves and that they can do it anyway. But the live facial recognition technology could not be used by police in Newham until biometric and anti-discrimination safeguards are in place.
That's hilarious.
So when they get the anti-discrimination safeguards in place, you can have facial recognition CCTV anywhere. The local councils say so. So they will accept this lovingly if you are able to make it a
See,
racially neutral technology.
what is the biometric safeguard here? Is this again what I was suggesting with the previous one, where we have some sort of weird law like China,
Yes.
whereby you only own the actual image of your face up until a certain point that you're deemed a criminal, at which you're no longer entitled to the privacy of your own face?
There's another one here. The facial recognitions, any mask, even these meagre objections are sidestepped by police, who have said they will use facial recognition in all London boroughs via mobile units. Any mass gatherings in the UK can and increasingly are subject to facial recognition. There was a big to-do made about it during the coronation. They really put themselves on show and went, "We are facial recognitioning this entire crowd. If you go into London during the coronation, we're scanning your face."
Yep.
So the coronation was a global event attracting mass public interest. Live facial recognition was used as part of a much wider and complex policing operation and helped to deter criminality and improve public
Yeah,
safety.
but that did still me like, and I'm totally open to coughing, remember?
Yeah, this is again from the Mayor of London's office. Gone. But here we come really to the UK crime rates. As CCTV has entered its heyday, crime has exploded.
Yep.
And it's only quote unquote come down.
Because Tony Blair buggered the numbers.
Yeah, Tony Blair made it so that police forces don't get their Christmas bonuses and all get kicked if they don't meet their crime targets. So magically, crime went down.
Oh, are you
And
going?
the thing is, everyone acknowledges this. Everyone
Yes.
acknowledges that UK crime figures are wrong to the point that we've talked about this before, but Greater Manchester again, police failed to record 80,000 crimes in a single year. So it shows you how much you can trust public crime figures. But everyone acknowledges that 2002, the start of the targets era, completely destroyed any semblance of reporting that even approaches levels that are realistic.
I know you've got one last little section here about domestic CCTV, but shall we go through some of the what would the phrase be? Testimonials that you have here.
I was going to do that anyway. We're kind of coming to the end of our not our stream, but we're coming to the end of our section here on government surveillance. We're going to the final frontier in a little bit. But yes, if you compare really just quickly this graph, where has it gone? Sorry,
Yeah, just leave that graph up and I'll just read through these and we can go with that as the context.
Yeah, if we look at the crime chart here, and then we get up this chart here. Where's it? That's it. There it is. No, there it is.
He's
There it is.
lost it.
No, there it is. That's the chart. Yeah, but if we just go back and forth between these two, and we see the amount of crime that Britain has comparatively, and London.
Here's the first one you have here.
Yeah. No, this is an amalgamation of I think two
Well,
people's
I'm just going to go
comments.
a paragraph at a time.
Yeah.
So, I've been working in CCTV for a short time in a local capacity. It's not easy per se to look for jobs in your local public CCTV. I never knew what I was getting into until the interview. The public-facing CCTV that we see on the high street are run by local councils, and therefore, as operators, our interactions with the police are via airwaves. There are fairly strict rules as it pertains to operators under the Information Protection Act. Most CCTV control rooms are contracted out to private companies who deal with employment, liabilities, etc.
I can read from everyone.
Yeah.
From my own experience, CCTV control rooms on the local level are shoestring operations with small staff, high turnover, and inter-council politics, which result in some areas with zero coverage and others with cameras that are 20 plus years old. From my own experience, there is no facial recognition software used, and considering the penny pinching the council likes to do, there won't be in the near future. This is kind of the other side of it.
The psychological part.
This, what's really interesting is working with the police. You may or may not know about IC codes. I do know about IC codes. They're basically like, we've got a 142, which are the which the police use nowadays, which basically means you'll call up about IC3s at some point every day. That's theft. That's property theft. That's shoplifting, basically, is an IC3. You also get insight into what the police will and will not respond to. For example, the police will not respond to shoplifting. In rare cases of over £100 of goods stolen, they will respond. But as well, they don't. Most petty drug offences remain unresolved. So that answers your question. Really, the police have no interest in crimes caught on CCTV.
Yes.
They consider going out and looking for crimes. Generally, they will not record those crimes. We've talked about before, police forces are incentivised not to record crimes because it ruins their stats. That's the long and short of it.
Yep.
CCTV is extremely post hoc. Reviews of footage for reported crimes happen the next day. Unless spotted by an operator, the only cameras that relay constant information are ANPR cameras, which ping information about suspected vehicles to the police. And now we've learned basically live images. I'm not particularly afraid of CCTV for the fact that I know who's behind it, i.e. people who, for the most part, are either asleep or on their phones. You also start noticing where there's no CCTV, especially in quiet towns with little to no diversity, because there's little to no crime to justify it. That's an amalgamation of kind of two experiences of two CCTV operators there. I've tried to keep that as anonymous as possible. I've edited a couple of bits out.
But the one of the things that does interest me, and this is definitely something I'd like to come back to, is what you refer to here as domestic CCTV, the future of mass surveillance.
Yes.
Increasingly, people are surveilling themselves, with a massive rise in property crime since the 1950s, resulting in a low-trust society riddled with domestic CCTV. In theory, there are strict limits about how this is supposed to work, but these are never enforced, and this is partially what we're discussing earlier on.
Yes.
If you want to go to the bit, you've got I'll read that out.
I will do quickly, yes. This is something that nobody really follows because it's completely unfeasible with like a Ring doorbell camera.
Yes. If your CCTV system captures images of people outside the boundary of your private domestic property, for example, from neighbours' homes or gardens, shared spaces or from public areas, then the GDPR and the DPA will apply to you. You will need to ensure your use of CCTV complies with these laws. If you do not comply with your data protection obligations, you may be subject to appropriate regulatory action by the Information Commission Office, as well as potential legal action by affected individuals.
This never happens and has never happened,
no.
Basically.
But I believe that this kind of stuff is there so that when someone who they don't want to have a domestic CCTV system
yes.
in their home can be dealt with as and when.
Yes, it is. This is one of the biggest factors of like a narco tyranny. Ring cameras and things like that have popped up massively, but really their use and your use of CCTV as an individual, it helps the government because they have access to Amazon servers, basically, but also they can come in and say that your use of it is illegal at any point, because it really is. CCTV is a great example of something both being incredibly controlled and borderline impossible, and also completely ubiquitous and completely non-regulated. It is a great example of a narco tyranny, both in its implementation and its use, because you have the most surveilled country in the world outside of China that is asleep on the wheel, that has massive property crime rises. That, you know, the head of John Lewis Well, she bows, probably soon to be Baroness White, who's anything but. But anyway, talking about the shoplifting problems at John Lewis and all that. And we have facial recognition being rolled out. We have as many cameras. We have like saturation point of cameras, and it still does nothing. And yet we find ourselves in this final frontier where really everyone is surveilling themselves. And again, you're right. This is a tool that will be used, I believe, to go after people in an arbitrary fashion in a show me the man, show me the crime. Data protection, your business. Again, this has enabled the productizing of mass CCTV by big tech. That's not the right thing. That's a link from earlier. The most valuable of which are the Ring doorbells. The most visible of which, sorry. Which seemed to deliberately circumvent GDPR by all being pointed at the fucking street, with nobody being sanctioned. Amazon is networking all of these devices to create a contiguous kind of mesh network CCTV net. Everything you need to know about Amazon Sidewalk, the secure low-cost network that can connect devices up to half a mile away.
It's 5G.
Yeah, basically, your Alexa, all of the Ring doorbells and all of the Amazon security cameras are networked together in a nightmare mesh that allows Amazon and, by extension, any government that will pay Amazon to have real-time access to entire areas of a country.
See, there was a reference to 1984 in one of the things we were reading earlier, but George Orwell could have never predicted the fact that the average person was so fucking gullible that they'd pay for their own fucking telescope.
Well, this is from Amazon itself.
I actually can't believe
it. Yes. Learn how Amazon Sidewalk can keep your devices connected and explore the protective measures we take to provide privacy and security along the way. But here's a couple of articles here from The Verge, which are basically them trying to shill this. Amazon just opened up its Sidewalk next for anyone to build connected gadgets on. The Long Range Low Bandwidth Network can give any LOT device free low-speed data.
Well, that's the Internet of Things, as we
the Internet of Shit.
If you want a people to be subjected to unending tyranny, don't force it upon them. Sell it to them.
Amazon's Sidewalk's privacy protocol is ready for the real world. Here's the skinny on whether adding third-party developers impacts Amazon Sidewalk's privacy and security measures, and what it means for Echo and Ring users.
Third-party
devices have access to this network.
Isn't there also just like a brilliant sort of closed loop of this entire system, though? What is the most likely reason for people having a Ring doorbell? It is that Amazon parcels are being delivered to their door whilst they aren't there.
And they're getting stolen.
And they're getting stolen, or the driver's smashing them. But it's okay, because Amazon and their partners have the perfect solution so that not a one of your parcels arrives smashed.
I had another story which I forgot to include.
Is this them locking people out of their homes for being racist?
Yes. Amazon locks out customer after smart doorbell racism claim. Brandon Jackson got access to his Amazon account back after a week, providing evidence that nobody was home at the time of the incident. Yeah, basically, some Pajit goes, "Hey, you're bloody racist, bloody, bloody, and they locks him. He has an Amazon-connected house, which is a dunce move in the first place. But basically, they completely just, like, they locked him out of his own house, his own home security system.
Fucking get up, you.
It's just, as well, that you, to be honest, Mr. Johnson, you deserve that.
Yes.
For allowing Amazon into your home. You are a fucking idiot. But yeah, there could, I'll make sure that's actually on screen there, sorry. A lot of people have heard this story. I believe Lewis Rossman broke the story.
There was a few other people talked about it as well, I believe, yes.
No, he broke the story, though.
Ah, right.
Because it's one of his viewers. It's actually breaking news there. But yes, that is the state that we are currently in. But as a kind of a closing thought, there could come a time when the UK government performatively hands over all cameras to private companies, or, bleaker still, when our surveillance of ourselves is so intense that CCTV in the traditional sense is no longer needed.
Yeah, even the idea of mass surveillance of, you know, even the 90s, early 2000s, has become so normal that even people within that don't feel that they are surveyed enough.
Yes.
I'm just going to mention as well, Soon as we've come to the close of the stream, there's a few more people around.
Yes.
If you happen to be free towards the end of October this year, and you're looking for something to do, and you happen to want to visit Stirling, or have been there before and happen to enjoy it anyway, we are doing an event on the 28th of October. We also probably will be doing some sort of early bird dinner-y thing.
Yes.
On the 27th, which we'll arrange a bit closer to with those who have bought the tickets for that. And we'll... quite frankly, come and join us. It's a bit more low-key maybe than some of the other events we've done before. If you haven't really been to them and you would like basically just to come along and have a blather with us or any other people that come along, because there's always some interesting folks. I'm sure a few of the Welsh Mafia people that have been chattering away in the chat today will be there. So
yes.
There'll be plenty of friends and good food and, most importantly, booze.
Yes, yes, there will
be. Maybe not Feakstons, we'll find out.
Is it true that, sorry, a quick £2 there from the website, is it true the UK is the most surveilled nation on earth? Possibly. China's...
I would say
take over
China has so much rural stuff that's basically still untouched that it's probably, yeah.
Possibly. We don't know, but certainly between about 1990 and 2005, probably-ish, for a good period, the UK was the most surveilled nation on earth. So... It could still be per capita. We're not quite sure. Because, there's so much of China that lives in a fucking dirt farm.
Yeah.
let's be frank.
You don't really need to put CCTV cameras on that farm.
Now, to do one last shilling, you do want to support our stream without paying the Google tax. Even though we are still fully monetized, there is the Ko-Fi, which I did link, is the pinned thing. We also have the Anti-Politics Substack. There will be more on that this week. I have another finished piece. If you guys want to read some of our paid stuff, because this one's a bit longer, and a lot of people seem to enjoy this one, the newest piece from me is called The Good War, and I've finally kind of broken my silence, although I wish I hadn't, because I've got some stupid comments about the community post I put out recently. I don't tend to touch this subject, because so many people turn into gibbering retards. But yes,
geopolitics is the big gay.
Yes, this is more about news narratives than actual geopolitics. Just talking about the Ukraine war directly is a fool's errand.
Yes. Other than that, I don't think we have much else to say. You might be doing a stream with someone on Wednesday, possibly.
I'm not quite sure.
But we'll work out. If not, you might hear from us next Monday, however... depending, because I have a very, very busy weekend ahead of me for a number of
reasons. It might just be me and a guest on Wednesday or Monday. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
Well, it could be both, depending on how things work out. We try and get as many of these out as possible. But with kind of ongoing troubles, basically a lot of people asked. I had an identity fraud thing happen, which basically meant I had to reset my legal fiction.
Whilst at the same time also being between jobs.
Yeah, it basically kind of all happened simultaneously. We've survived, because, you know, we're survivors, but that's kind of what happened. That's what slowed us down a bit, is the confluence of basically being pushed out of a job due to a merger I don't have control over, and also having somebody attempt to steal my entire kind of legal identity.
There is, on top of that, there's still the element of always trying to find the right balance of how much of this stuff is the right amount to do as and when.
Yes, we don't want to overface people as well. That's kind of a very big part of it. But thank you guys. Thank you guys for watching. I don't know why a Bing toolbar has just showed up. That's kind of disturbing. But thank you for showing up. Thank you to everyone who's donated. Thank you to everyone who's a member. Thank you to everyone who's subscribed us to the Substack, because a lot of you have, which is very nice. Do have yourselves a good evening. And that's goodbye from me.
Good night.
Good night. Have a good one.